This parsha is Re'eh. Deuteronomy. This is all Deuteronomy 11:26 through 16:17. The Haftarah is Yeshayahu, Isaiah 44:11 through 45:5. And the New Testament is 1 John 4:1-6, and 1 John 2:18 through 25. I always like to call this parsha where it says Re'eh, see. I like to call it see the truth. And that's what this is. He is warning people in here once again. He's admonishing everyone, don't step away. Don't step away. I really liked Brother Darrell's teaching last week on the things that he has created to remind us, such as Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, just like the moon. The moon was created for no other reason than his Moedim. It wasn't created for NASA. It wasn't created for man. It was created for the signs and the Moedim in the sky, so man could go by a timekeeping device that has a cycle that matches God's cycles that never can be changed by man. Praise Abba, he is a very smart God. He is the father of us all. Behold, I set for you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey. Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Toda rabba for the Torah. Re'eh Hanoki noten lefnechem hayom. Baraka uchlala et habraka asher tishmau. El mitzot Adonai Elohechem Ashur Anoki mitzveh etchem hayom. Abba is a good God. This is amazing stuff that he has put in our lap. Deuteronomy 11:26-32. Thank you, Paul, for reading.
Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim, and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan? Toward the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Moreh. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and the judgments which I set before you today.
Proverbs 28:9.
One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
Amen. Mesir etzno mishmo Torah gam tofalato toava. When one goes back to Deuteronomy 11:22-25, we see when one holds fast to Elohim by doing what he says to the best of our ability and to focus on him with our heart, mind, and soul, that one becomes powerful and also becomes one of God. So I'm going to step back like we did last week, and I want to read this little bit right here before this parsha. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong, Chazak, and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants. A land flowing with milk and honey, for the land which you go in to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drink water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. This is very beautiful, because when he says up here, he says, Therefore you shall keep the commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. He's telling me here that if I adhere to Him and hold fast to Him, the trials and the tests He sends my way, He will prevail me through them. But if I don't hold fast to Him, am I going to win all these trials on my own? You can't. Anyone that thinks they can do it all on their own is lying to themselves. And they're also stealing from themselves. This is a very, very powerful formula he says right here. He's basically saying, if you adhere to my ways as your father, you will become powerful. You will become invincible and you will conquer. And this is a very important thing to take into consideration because it's a gift. Just like it's part of salvation. It is a gift for us to persevere. When Yeshua quotes Deuteronomy, when he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah, he's just reiterating the words that we just read, Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28.
Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known.
The words of God are life to us. Proverbs 3, 1 through 2.
My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you.
Length of days and life. You will live by them. You will have life by them. You will achieve longevity by them. This word curse now, this curse, kala or kalala, Strong's number 7043 for kala, the root, and this kalala, 7045. This main instrumental, I call it a verb noun, in this word is to be moved to and fro. The curse in this aspect, you will be cursed if we don't adhere to Adonai. He will curse us with instability. We can be moved by any doctrine. We can actually syncretize and have lots of holidays, one for every month of the year. And we can become just generic and goofy and whatever, but he doesn't look our direction because we have been weakened. It is basically saying it is a consequence from willful disobedience. This consequence opens us up to being vulnerable to any form of thought. From depression, wanderlust, syncretism, believing in false doctrine, we become a prey to the enemy when we decide to step away from Adonai and walk in our own self, which is a curse, and our own opinion. We are extremely vulnerable to the enemy. And this is the truth. James, Proverbs 5, 1 through 7.
My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth.
From the words of his mouth comes discretion and knowledge. James 1, 5 through 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind.
That doubt is a curse. That doubt is a curse. Go ahead. Thank you, Paul.
For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
That's a strong verse for all of us who were born in the flesh, all of us. But we have that war. 2 Peter 3:15-16.
And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures.
Adonai says in Deuteronomy 11:28, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of Elohim, but turn aside from the way to which I command you today, to go after other gods, which you have not known. Many times there's things in our lives that we put before Adonai. And little do we know, these are gods. These are false gods. One turns their back on Elohim when they know of his appointments, his Shabbats and his Moedims, because there is something in their life more important than Elohim. Anything, any excuse is going after other gods as idols of the heart. Now you have paramedics, police officers, people that are out there who could any second have to save a life. That overrides all the laws of the Torah. For they're covered on Yom Shabbat. If they have to work and on a shift like my son, which he has saved lives on Shabbat, that overrides all the commands of the Torah, of the Shabbat on Shabbat. Because it's called Yeshuat Nefesh, the saving of a life, the saving of souls. So we have to be careful that there's something. This is walking in a curse. If I have something comes up that I would much rather go do, that I don't have to. Something I'd much rather go do on Shabbat is a god to me then, because it becomes more important than him, the one who made me. This is what my forefathers did right up to my life. None observed the Father's ways with all their heart. Another one of the curses that brings consequence of no growth in the land that's going on today is the violation of Leviticus 19:34.
The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God.
Now, in this piece right here, what he said, the stranger who dwells with you as one of you, he is saying that the person, the foreigner, the sojourner, just like Abraham, who was a Chaldean, came in. This does not mean some other culture or Islam or somebody like that comes and moves and sets up camp right next to you. And you got to love him like he's of you. No, that's not what they're talking about here. You got to go back to the culture. You got to look at the environment and what they were talking about. They had their camp. They had their areas where they lived. They had their land. Another curse is believing anyone who is returning back to the Torah of Elohim and the ways of God, an Ephraimite that can't prove if they're Jewish, or a second-class believer. I've heard this from some groups all coming here and there from all over since during the past 15, 20 years. This kind of mentality goes on in some circles. Or if a person looks to any other denomination as it is right and physical Israel is all lost, they will never be a part of Israel. Anyone who thinks that way, anybody that thinks that there's another denomination that is right and physical Israel, those over there, are all lost, the person that's in that mindset, as long as they're in that mindset, they will not be a part of Israel. They can't. Because they won't let themselves be. Walking in false doctrine is walking in a curse. Mashiach died to remove these curses, not to remove the Torah. This is very important to remember. And to set us free to study God's ways out of love, to find what one can apply. That is finding a collection of acts that please God. And it's important because God is looking, searching the globe all the time, watching for those who are being turned on to his ways and are returning back in the spirit. He's watching all the time. Walking in false doctrine is walking in a curse. In Matthew 5, we have what was always called, what's that word, Beatitudes, which made no sense to me, and then a Sermon on the Mount. And I looked, always looked at Yeshua as a teacher, not a sermonite. He was a teacher. And what was happening in Matthew 5? It is known in the land as the teaching of reversal. The mountain where it took place is close to Capernaum. Or Capernaum. This place is historic. It's so what happened. He saw the multitudes, and he felt compassion. And he went up the mountain with his apostles and came back down a little bit way to a flatter part of the ground. And what he did as king is reversed the 722-year-old curse against Ephraim, the northern tribes that were dispersed and called Lo-Ami, Hosea 1:10. I love this. This is so beautiful.
Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people." There it shall be said to them, "You are sons of the living God."
Romans 9:26 says the same thing. It's a second witness to Hosea. In the same place. Go ahead, Paul. Thank you.
And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people." There they shall be called sons of the living God.
Now, where was this at? In Israel, right? This happened over there. Where some people look at over there. I've had a guy tell me one time, he said, "Oh, all those Jews over there in Israel, they're imposters." But this took place over there. This teaching of reversal, this teaching to the people that they are now set free to come back into the ways of Elohim without the Pharisaical religious system. This happened in Israel to people of Israel, and many of their descendants are still there today. We know this for a fact. Their descendants are still there today. There is no way another religion could ever sprout up somewhere else in another land, worship Sunday, no Moedims, no dietary laws, pork, shrimp, bugs, Christmas, Easter, all the pagan-based ways, and then call itself Israel. That does not line up according to what the Torah says. It's for that, huh? Right? It's true. Amen. This is true. There's no way they can call themselves Israel. And yet there are groups that do. You know, when this country was settled, people had no contact with the land. They had no contact whatsoever with what really happened back over there. And so as people came across, denominations started getting started. And then they really started moving. And then, well, this bunch didn't think quite like that bunch, so that bunch over here going to call themselves something else. And then so some of those people there, and here we go. Next thing you know, America was filled up with freedom of religion and multi-denominational ways of thinking. And scriptures were totally butchered according to the Torah and the ways of God. They didn't line up. People didn't have any contact. They were innocent. They didn't know. The teachers, a lot of the teachers that came up with these brand new religions out of the blue, and move out west to start a state or whatever with their own form of thinking. And people bought into it because they had nowhere else to go. They had nowhere, they didn't know. There was hardly any hospitals out here. So this stuff took off. And this brings us to today. Everyone is in a growth process. And we have to realize there's only one place. I wish everyone could, a lot of you know this already. There's only one place that you can settle spiritually and become whole. And that's in the ways of God, in the ways of Yeshua, in His ways, in His word. Otherwise, we are out of covenant with Adonai. You just take even the Ten Commandments. Okay, we'll just do the Ten Commandments. What about number four? Who's in covenant? Who isn't? Which is the longest commandment? Which one does God observe? When this happens, when in the past, when people were less learned in the Hebrew ways, and they came up with these, bingo, I got a new religion. I'm going to write a new Bible. And they just wrote their own book. That's total syncretism with false doctrine. It's impossible to be called Israel. So we want to always remember walking in God's, by ignoring God's ways, one is walking in a bit of a curse, vulnerable to instability. Galatians 3:10 through 29.
For it is many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Mashiach has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Yeshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Mashiach. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God and Mashiach, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture is confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Yeshua might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Mashiach, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many as you as were baptized into Mashiach have put on Yeshua. There is neither Yehudi nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you are Mashiach's, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Now, this got really misconstrued over the, and there's some mistranslation in here too, anti-Semitic stuff. But one thing, I've said this before, and since I taught on this, I don't know when it was, always remember when this was written, he was writing to the Galatians, and in that area, there were a lot of the Yehudi that were Torah observant and were looked to the Torah as their salvation. Then you have the Pharisees. Now you got the laws. There's three sets of laws they're talking about in here, and you got to decipher which one's which. You got the laws of the Pharisees. You got the laws of sin and death that Yeshua came and did away with. and then you got the Torah of Elohim, teaching instruction of God. This word law in Galatians here does not mean Yeshua came to take that away. He came to show us how much He loved us, so that when we saw how much He loves us, what He did for us, to cover all our past transgressions, He came and paved the way for us to learn about the Father and love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. He gave us an area where we can go and do this, to do what's pleasing to God. And it says right here, it says, you are all sons of God through faith. You are all one in Yeshua, which makes us all Abraham's seed. So if we're all one, we'll have to go here in a little bit to Ezekiel and see what all one of us would be doing. But remember, these letters that go out, we never got the questions. We never got the letters that were written to Paul, to Shaul. All we got was what he wrote out. So we're getting half the story also. Yeshua took on all the curses of the Torah violation so that we could look to Yeshua as what He is, the walking instruction. What was He doing? He was walking around teaching people how to live according to the Father without a religious system. He gives us the privilege of being restored back to the Father's ways. Praise Abba. Abraham kept the Torah. We know this in Genesis 18:19. We've read it a lot. You can go ahead and read it again. Abraham kept the Torah. He kept the ways of God.
For I have known Him, in order that He may command His children and His household after Him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has spoken to him.
And Yeshua knew Abraham. Just like Vicky was talking about Yeshua bearing Moshe, Yeshua knew Abraham. John 8:56.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and it was glad.
So in Galatians, down at the end again, you are all sons of God through faith. You are all one in Yeshua, and you are all Abraham's seed. So if we're all believers in one, let's go to Ezekiel 37:21-28 to see if they will observe Torah in faith and love in the end, which is in the future. When Yeshua comes back, He's going to be looking for this. Ezekiel 37:21-28.
Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be ever divided into two kingdoms again.
Now what he's talking about right here is the whole body of believers that come into the Father's ways. Go ahead.
They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore.
Ezekiel 37 clears up a lot of discrepancies amongst believers if they'll just really look into it and what it is saying. It omits all denominations. It's talking about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom becoming one in His hand, their descendants. And this is very important because you have to follow it up with what it says they're going to be doing. They're all going to be observing the ways of God, no more, no less. Going to be observing the ways of God. Now in 2 Peter 3:16, it says, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. I want to bring in one thing, and this is not to be contentious, because he says, don't be contentious. But this is a historical fact. Concerning the head covering, they found, quite a while back, lead plates that were written to the church at Corinth. In Corinth, across the bay, was the Temple of Delphi. Temple priestesses were temple prostitutes, and they shaved their heads. They were over there, and they were also fortune tellers. And they would tell fortunes for money, but they shaved their heads. Well, when the synagogues on the other side, the Besorah, the birthright, the Bechorah, the gospel comes in and is being heard and spreads, these ladies heard this and were interested, because some of them were descendants of the northern kingdom anyway, and some of them weren't. Some of them were just like Abraham. But they heard and they were interested, and they came to the synagogues with their shaved heads. He knew that this was a stumbling block to the men. So he says, put a covering on until your hair grows out, and then your hair is for you a covering. It is your glory. So this is what he did. He took steps to ensure that the people coming in, the women that were coming in that were transitioning, as we all do, we transition, so there wouldn't be a stumbling block to the men with their bald heads, because back in that culture, they knew exactly what that bald head meant. So they walk into the synagogue. He said, no, you guys got to put on, a head covering, a wig or something. You got to cover your head so that the women all look the same and there's no stumbling block. Because your hair is a covering for you, women. Your hair is your covering. It says it in the scriptures. It's in 1 Corinthians 11:6 and 1 Corinthians 11:16. We don't have to go there today because I got more stuff to do. But this is all a result of Deuteronomy 12:8, where it says, you shall not all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. That is a very crucial verse. When someone has to write their own Bibles or own book so they can say everyone else out there is wrong, that's not the way of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Deuteronomy 12:1-4.
These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things.
That verse 4 is the clincher. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. This is what he's talking about was going on back then, syncretism. Syncretism, the combining of different forms of belief or practice, or combining pagan-originated practices with the Word of God, such as first-day worship, Christmas, Easter, so on and so forth. He says, do not worship me in that way. Do not worship me with such things. He specifically is saying it. This kind of puts a chapamundo to any of the ideas man comes up with. And once again, Deuteronomy 12:30-31.
Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods.
For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods, practicing and teaching syncretism. Not a good area to be. Twice in this Tarpasha, we got the drinking, the warning against the drinking of the blood. 12:15-16.
However you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates, whatever your heart desires according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water.
And Deuteronomy 12:23-25.
Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord.
Deuteronomy 12:32.
Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it.
Very important. Deuteronomy 13:18.
Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God.
To do what is right in his eyes. That should be the focus between our eyes. Deuteronomy 12:8, as I read before. Very strong verse. This one hit me real good. It's a good boundary. Really good boundary.
You shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes.
It's a very, very strong warning. And it's a safe zone if you heed that warning. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we have three times a year, Shalosh Regalim.
Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed.
Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot. The three main, Shalosh Regalim. Rav Shaul was a Torah master, and he knew this. In Acts 20:16.
For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Yerushalayim, if possible, on the day of Shavuot.
In Acts 18:18-21.
So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Yehudi. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus.
So I taught on these here a week or so back and proved where these were two separate times that he made a point to get there and follow the command. Revelation 1:5-6.
And from Yeshua HaMashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Malachi 2:1-2.
And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart.
Remember, the name also means the walk. The walk that Adonai prescribed for his people. And if we are giving glory to his name, the very most, the utmost, best way to give glory to his name is to glorify his way, his lifestyle. And this glorifies his name. I cannot be following another belief system and be trying to glorify the Father. That doesn't line up with what he says. Because this Torah, the scriptures, the prophets, the instructions of God, when one adheres to them and what we can do, much for the land, much for the priests, but much of it's for us. And if we do this, somebody's going to ask why. And you always know when it comes to the dietary laws, it trips a trigger. It just starts in the families first. Somebody's got to challenge you, you know, about the dietary laws. But that's stirring the spirit, man. That's stirring things and getting people to start thinking. So I just want to encourage everyone, adhere to the Father's ways and you will become strong. You will become invincible. The more you carry His ways, the more He carries you. In Yahshua's name.